Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, and every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by... When the Revenant came... Quad damage! Gary Butterfield, the Batman of podcasting.
Hello, and I am joined by the Fairweather Johnson of podcasting, Will Hughes.
I'm going to need an explanation on that one, Gary, as it made no sense to me and was outside of my frame of reference.
The sophomore album from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a funny phrase. Okay. I was reminded of that album today.
By?
YouTube.
Mm. You know? The algorithm.
Yeah. I sought it out. I was just Googling Hootie and wanted. So, I got a Hootie Google alert.
Again, I don't think you did. I think you maybe got a Hootie Gary alert in your brain.
Yeah.
Because you just straight up fucking lied to me that YouTube showed it to you, and then you were like, well, no, I sought it out actively.
No, YouTube did show it to me, but it was on a channel I sought out actively. It wasn't just the algorithm. So I was kind of telling the truth and lying at the same time.
Gary, this is obviously Monster Blitz, where we're talking about every single monster in The Binding of Isaac. We will talk about Quad Revenant. Gary, I do need a minute-by-minute, Warren Commission breakdown of how Hootie and the Blowfish got in your brain today.
Yeah.
What was your first Hootie-related thought?
So, putting aside your contempt for YouTubers.
Gary, if we don't start... Like, we did the ritual where I put aside most of my contempts before we start the show.
I'm asking for this one as a special exception.
Okay, it's going to really... I already have so many candles burning in the shrine right now for the ritual. I had to take the batteries out of my smoke alarm this morning, and I'm worried that the candles are going to cause a problem.
No, take one of the candles back. Something you have contempt for me with. Fair game.
It's coming through. It's all coming through.
Oh, there we go.
In that fiction, my head exploded because of the little contempt. Like, there was a little leak in the contempt dike.
Oh, that's my favorite blog.
That would be a really good 2005 blog. I would have had a low key crush on the contempt dike.
Same. Yeah. Anywho, there's a YouTuber named Todd in the Shadows who does pop song retrospective shit. Has been talking about a lot of 90s stuff. As a 45-year-old man, my primary hobby and interest is in remembering things from when I was younger. So I was watching his thing about Follow Up Records, and he was talking about Hootie and the Blowfish. And I was like, oh, fucking yeah, I remember that Follow Up record. Because, Hootie and Blowfish was everywhere.
Yeah, we were rucker-pilled.
Super rucker-pilled. One of the clips from that YouTube is at one point, 1 in 29 Americans had a Hootie and the Blowfish album. That's crazy.
That's a lot of albums. That's a lot of albums. Those are bringing down the horse numbers.
Huge bringing down the horse numbers. Maybe even further. Even more than the horse.
What was the first Hootie album just self-titled?
No, it's called Cracked Rear View.
Moving along.
Because they have a kind of, they're looking back on their past, but they're doing it in a way that is slightly fractured.
Oh, that's interesting. So the mirror isn't lining up perfectly with reality.
No, it's mostly Hootie's unconventional and unreliable memory of his various cheesy bits in golf and shit.
Now, Gary, you are falling into the classic Hootie and the Blowfish conversation of ascribing the Hootie personality to Darius Rucker.
That is true. That Key and Peele sketch is a classic.
Okay.
It's very hard not to, but you're right. Darius Rucker's lyricism.
They call themselves Hootie and the Blowfish. It leads you to look for Hootie.
It's kind of the same mistake that I made with our band in having a word that isn't real that nobody knows and can't pronounce by looking at it.
Yeah. Branding wise, powerful.
Yeah. It comes up with Google. So SEO wise, it's correct. But nobody has ever Googled my band, so it doesn't matter.
Gary, why aren't you talking? I have had so many trainings about SEO, and you've never tried to tap me for that, and it's wild.
Yeah, what do you think the band should be named?
Oh, God. Magic the Gathering unboxing avatar card.
That's a good name for a band.
It's a good name for a band, man.
Yeah, and that would get hits.
Hits for days.
Hits for days. I was thinking about Weird Spot Dick Doctor, question mark.
You're going to get some people who are just really in doctors who really like cooking spotted dick is the thing.
Yeah. Do you cook spotted dick?
Are you asking me or the royal me?
I'm asking the royal you. Like, in does
yes, Gary. Dick? Thank you.
There we are.
You've invoked me.
My lord.
Yes.
When you have spotted dick, is it cooked?
I'm Googling it right now on my Google machine.
Oh, okay. Your court jester. Joke of the day, Google machine.
It's a steamed pudding, Gary.
Okay.
And I looked at the AI summary because I've become lazy as a king.
Yeah. So we have about a 60% chance of that being correct.
It's Wikipedia says it's a steamed pudding, Gary, made with suet and dried fruit.
Okay. I thought it, Your Honor, I thought it came in a can mostly.
I imagine it probably does these days for the peasants, but I only have it properly steamed.
Yes. Are you a big suet king?
I'm eating suet day and night, peasant.
Okay.
That's what they use. Are you a peasant?
I'm definitely a peasant. I'm landed gentry. Never mind. I'm landed
gentry.
Yeah.
Seneschal, have this man executed.
Well, I'm landed gentry.
With the guillotine. Chop the head off as befits a man of his station.
In that case, go to town, boys.
And now I must go to have gout.
Enjoy it. Gout it all out. Gout it all out. This is the king that I sing about. Come on.
Really good. Great parody song, man. Your Weird Al's like, he actually walks into things all the time because he's looking over his shoulder at you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're friends. And he would like me in real life.
Yeah. Same. Right. He would kind of like, because I would be low key about it. Right. I wouldn't be weird about it. And he'd enjoy that.
No, I would be like, hey, man, I'm cool, actually. I'm not like these nerds. What's up?
Can I tell you? Can I digress for a second?
Yeah.
That is a pressure that pops up in your brain, or at least my bad brain, when I am getting ready to talk to a famous person for work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm probably going to interview Sam Reich from Dropout pretty soon.
And I
am having to prune my question list for the ones that are me just trying to make him like me.
Yeah.
Letting him know, the ones that are just there to let him know, I'm cool.
Yeah, I might be good on that show.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Or just like in friend times.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like any bands?
Oh my God, wouldn't it be, the main question I've had to delete about six times is, wouldn't it be so funny if like, you were like, oh, wait, what if this guy was on an episode of Make Some Noise?
Yeah. Good instinct.
Or Smarty Pants, which I would be good on.
Yeah. Good instinct.
The initial one or the one to defeat the first instinct?
The one to defeat the first instinct? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
order of operations.
You don't think I should ask him if it would be funny if he put me on his shows?
It's a really advanced move.
It's very advanced.
I think that there's a chance he would find it funny that you did that. Like, he might assume you're joking.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, it'd be a good joke.
Yeah, it'd be very funny.
And if he can hang with that, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's probably in press mode. It's probably like when I try to make, like, cashiers laugh. Like, he's not in that mode. So he's not going to be on the lookout for that joke.
There won't be the low-key... He won't have to worry that I'm trying to get in his pants.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear. I know you're not trying to get into the waitress or the cashier's pants. Because I'm your friend, and I know that you're a married man of incredible faithfulness and integrity.
Yeah, consummate wife guy. My wife guy levels are ridiculous.
But the cashier or the waitress doesn't know that. And sometimes I do think they think you're trying to fuck them.
Probably, but now I like to show him my wedding ring, like, very prominently.
Yeah.
you know, just be like, yeah. Hey, I point to it. And then I say like, you know, so I have a question for you. Is the coffee hot? You know, or some stupid joke I'm going to make, but I'm pointing at the wedding ring at the same time. So they know that I don't want to eat their pussy.
What I think is going to be really like, you are so, and I say this to you a lot, it's not an insult. You have gone old manified so hard in like the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You're almost the mustache is doing a lot of work, but you're almost to the point where you seem harmless.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I don't like being perceived as harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the age that I am.
Yeah.
I don't like it when people act like they're not the age they are.
Interesting. You know,
like what if I was walking around saying I'm 45 years young?
Yeah, that would be very bad. But also, yeah. Like, if I came in and would you, because this is some stuff that's popped up on Guppy Slack. If I said, man, K-pop Demon Hunters is really good. For the record, I haven't watched it and don't know that I'd enjoy it because I'm a 41-year-old man. But
yeah,
how would that interact with the feeling you're expressing right now?
K-pop Demon Hunters is none of my business.
The difficulty you had in even saying it speaks volumes.
Yeah, I don't care about it. You know, I don't care about it. It's not good behavior. Like it's not for me.
Uh-huh.
A vague, mild irritation at its existence.
Yeah.
Is about where I top out on something like that.
Okay.
Like, not happy with it. If I were just voting, like, let's say I had two buttons and one of them was like, this exists, and one of them is like, it doesn't, I would press that it doesn't. I'd slam it.
Really?
I'd erase
Why?
It from the universe. Because it's a little irritating to me.
But, like, okay, interesting. And yeah. I think what you've just described, that situation with the buttons,
mm-hmm.
is called being old.
Yeah. Yeah. Primarying my own sense of irritation. I mean, in this scenario, it would have never existed, so no one would miss it.
Okay, but like,
they would just
presumably
something
equally or more irritating would be festering among the young people unless you are just being very active on the button.
I'm really good at the button, and eventually something will show up that I'm okay with, I feel like.
I mean, after you got into Adventure Time at a pretty late age.
Yeah, love that. New season of Fiona and Cake isn't that great, but like,
yeah.
still like Adventure Time. So I just do it until we got something like that, you know?
Yeah, just roll the dice.
Yeah, and eventually there's something me and the young people can agree on, and it's neither K-pop nor demon hunting.
Which part do you find, I know which part it is, which part do you find more offensive?
It's the anime. It's the visual style of it.
Interesting. Yeah. It's neither, I was wrong, I assumed it would be the K-pop.
I have, K-pop just sounds like regular pop to me, and
that's
I
so
live
progressive,
in,
dude. That is so progressive. You are.
I don't
such
even see colors.
Yeah, you're such a liberal hero.
I live in the Jade District, so most of the restaurants I eat at have K-pop videos playing nonstop in the background.
Yeah, when I go to restaurants in your neighborhood, we have to do some really. My wife has attention deficit hyperactive disorder, so mm-hmm. We have to do a lot of like very careful positioning of her eyeline.
Yeah, because it's very hard. I always make it a point to make it put Liv's back to it, because Liv also will get really sucked in to just watching We Are 55 Boys and We Love You.
We sound like bad controlling husbands. These are requests that have been made by the wives.
Yeah, this sounds like shit. But I see a lot of K-pop. It sounds fine to me. It doesn't sound that different from anything else. It doesn't really sound like anything. Whereas anime looks irritating to me.
Okay.
Yeah, that part bugs me. So
why do you think you hate Japan so much?
I like a lot of things in Japan. I don't like American Japanophiles. Japan's great. They make a lot of good video games. They have a lot of cool art, a lot of cute stuff. American Japanophiles are annoying. They kind of give it a bad name.
And of course, to be very clear, K-pop Demon Hunters is of course rooted in Korean mythology and visuals and stuff. But
yeah,
there
the visual influence of the art style.
Yes.
Like, only the most tedious person is going to argue with me and say that's not actually anime. You know,
that's a mean thing to say after I've done that.
Yeah, you didn't say it wasn't anime. You're saying it was. You weren't invalidating my premise. Somebody's going to be like, that's not really that. And it's like, fuck off. I feel like we've mostly pruned those people from the Slack, but that was a big thing around 2017, 2018.
Sure. Gary, I'm going to get us into potentially hot water. Have you learned about the Korean finger pinching thing?
Ooh, no.
So this is depressing, I'll say. Uh-oh. To start. There is a ongoing thing in Korean culture, because apparently there's like a lot of like misogyny and like political tension between people who identify mostly by their gender in South Korea. So there is this thing where if any advertisement or video or anything in Korea features fingers and thumb in proximity to each other in like a pinching gesture.
Okay.
That is overwhelmed by complaints by men who say it is a small dick reference, and the company has to take the image down and issue an apology.
Huh. That's the most tone on yourself shit I've ever heard in my life.
It's crazy. It's really like, wild, but it has actual impact on things like grocery stores having to like fire people and issue apologies because some ad had a model making her holding her hand in a specific way.
That's horrible. That's stupid.
It's really stupid. I found out about that this week because it pops up in gaming a lot because it's like a Gamergate adjacent like phenomenon. Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine the person who complains about that is like, yeah, I feel, you know, this really small symbol with a hand, I'm pretty sure it's making fun of my dick. Take it down.
Yeah.
Like, what a weird fucking thing. You wouldn't get that out of me on torture.
Yeah. There was like, in like 2015, there was like an ultra feminist website that had that as their logo.
Mm-hmm.
That like was explicitly making a small dick joke.
Yeah.
They and now
a dry dick joke. Like, small is fine, but dry, that's not what you want. Like, I don't know what finger motion represents a dry dick, but like dry dick.
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about the moistness of their dicks, these guys.
They should be. That's how you find out where a dick has rot.
Find out where a dick, yeah. All right, so that was just a thing I learned about this week that I wanted to share with you.
That's interesting.
On our podcast, Everything to Guppy.
I appreciate it. That's fascinating.
So your YouTuber friend Todd from the Shadows.
Yep. You said you were gonna put that away.
It has to be for the names too.
It's you YouTuber disdain, yeah.
You think the name is good?
You
think the name Todd from the Shadows is good?
No, but we had an agreement.
What's the joke of Todd from the Shadows?
It's Todd in the Shadows.
I would like to issue a formal apology to Todd the Shadows and the in the community.
I might have be correcting myself. I might have said it wrong. He doesn't show his face. He's from early YouTube, and he shows himself like as a silhouette at a piano from the side. Hold it. Stuff it.
I'm fucking trying, dude, but you just told me that this man looks like he's a pianist who saw a mob hit outside of Carnegie Hall, dude.
Yeah. And you're going to take your contempt and you're going to stuff it down your throat.
It's
because
not
you agreed
contempt,
to.
It's interest with anger.
Well, no. that's what I feel about.
Sure.
Yeah, I understand interest with anger, but it's pretty similar to contempt. I had an idea.
Yes.
What if you and I, together as Everything to Guppy, did a program for young men, you know, like one of those camps?
Yeah. We've watched the same new episodes of King of the Hill.
Yeah. But ours would be concentrating mostly on physique.
Mm.
And we could call it Body Like Picar.
Is the Picar Harvey Picar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about if you put yours and my body together and took a foot off us, we're real Harvey Picar.
interesting. I don't have, I'm going to have to real quick, because all I'm getting when I hit the Harvey Pekar button in my head is a very vague picture of Paul Giamatti. And honestly, yeah, he's in the Planet of the Apes makeup.
That's not the kind of body I want to encourage for these people.
This is another digression. Have you ever heard Paul Giamatti talk about the Planet of the Apes makeup?
It's great. Yeah.
No man has ever been happier.
It's really funny. It's
okay. Yeah. Okay. I did know what Harvey Pekar looked like. I had seen pictures before, and now I've reloaded it. Okay.
Does it seem a little bit like us combined with Nick? Maybe for shortness.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Am I just providing the bald?
You're providing the bald and some of the girth.
I mean, I'll come with you on this premise, man.
Thank you.
I don't see it personally, but I can be enthusiastic without belief.
I appreciate that. I feel like there's probably a market for people who look at Harvey Pekar.
Uh-huh.
And they say, fuck. Like, I got to get that.
Yeah, or at least, like, I'm not going to look better than that. Can I get to that?
That guy got married. That guy got his dick wet.
Yeah. And then she gets sick. He writes a comic about it.
Yeah. And then he gets sick and he writes a comic about it.
You can take anything and turn it into content is the real. Yeah. Married three times.
That's nuts. I don't know if I knew that. And I've read a bunch of his comics.
Annoyingly autobiographical.
They're very autobiographical. Like, they're just stuff that happened to him. It's like him seeing people move a couch.
Oh, and that was actually an episode of Friends he was watching. Pivot.
Yeah. Yeah. Him pivot. You as a Friends expert and me watching it for the first time in my life.
Gary, don't say good ideas in a space where good ideas don't live.
I'd be so mad.
You'd be so mad. I'd be
so contemptuous and interested. angry. I would, that would make me furious. In terms of ideas we've had for the pivot, waking up every morning on Mondays.
Uh-huh.
And while I'm having breakfast and getting into gear and hydrating, having to watch an episode of Friends.
Just mainline 22 episodes of Ross, Rachel, Chandler, Joey, Phoebe, and of course,
Gunther. Gunther. I would be so fucking mad. Almost worth doing once just to feel like what it would feel like.
Yeah, yeah. But Gary, we make that argument about heroin all the time and people tell us to stop.
Yeah, that's addictive, unlike Friends, though.
I don't know, man. What if you get really invested in Ross and Rachel's will they won't they?
There's a will they won't they?
Gary. Gary, there is, yes. It's
That does sound pretty good.
In some ways, it's what the whole arc on News Radio is kind of making fun of to some extent.
Oh, baby. That sounds interesting.
I you know what? The News Radio thing is probably more riffing on Sam and Diane. But anyway.
Of course
there's a will they won't they. So Gary, I'll just lay it out for you real fast. So Ross is pining for Rachel, who starts the show running away from her own wedding.
Oh,
but Ross has had a crush on her for years.
Okay.
And then at the end of the first season, she finds out about the crush and reciprocates. But by then, he was off in London and he comes back with a new girlfriend.
Is his girlfriend one of the friends or is this some like limey side friend? No, this is an
interloper. This is an interloper.
Okay. Yeah. Is she like, pardon your tea, governor?
That's his wife. That's the woman he marries later. You've jumped forward.
Marry me, you cunt.
Like that's exactly what she sounds like.
Okay.
Julie Fred. She's a well known. Is it? It's Lauren Tom is
okay.
The first girlfriend, Amy from Futurama. And then he breaks up with her, and then he and Rachel are like, let's do this thing. And then they date.
Okay.
But then, Gary, have you ever heard a little phrase called we were on a break?
No.
Really?
I understand what a break is.
But you've never heard it in the context of Friends, where it's one of the most repeated phrases in the whole show?
No.
We got to do this show, man. We got to do this show.
I don't watch Friends. I don't like Friends. I don't like looking at it or thinking about it.
You've really sold me on this.
My main takeaway for We Were on a Break is from the Mr. Show sketch.
Okay.
Yeah, where the guy goes and learns a Tex-Mex, or the lady goes and learns a Tex-Mex cooking class, and the guy and Bob Odenkirk did everything. Is the joke.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I don't want to spoil any more stuff because it'll ruin the when we do the actual pivot to Friends. So what were we talking about? Darius Rucker?
What will you give me
For
going along with that?
What
does Gary get out of it?
I have nothing to give you, Gary, beyond you. I can only speak to the you now who appreciates the joke. I can't do anything for the you who has to live with the consequences.
Like the you that will hate it. I know that I exist in that space, though, at least a little bit. It's a future me, but it's not. I am familiar with future me at least a little bit. I'm passing acquaintances with future me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know on some level I will become future me. So I feel like current Gary, who thinks it's funny, needs some kind of guarantee that future me will not just dread waking up every Monday. One of his rare days that he does not record with Kay.
Which, of course, is its own minefield of dread.
No, it's great. It's more like work.
Gary, what I'm telling you is all I have to offer you is current Gary's amusement at future Gary's pain.
Sadly, that won't work. That's not a good enough. You know, that's not enough bag.
What if I just started saying dollar amounts?
If it really jumpstarted the Patreon,
sure.
In a way, money would be a reason I would do this. That'd be pretty great.
Gary, are you saying publicly that if the Patreon reaches a certain, are we setting a Patreon stretch goal?
No. That's too easy. If Patreon's going to get, the next time Patreon gets a bump, it's going to be in FromSoft releases another game worth playing.
Maybe.
Or
it could be you dangling this in front of Guppy fans.
It won't be this. If this is responsible for it, then yes. This has to, it can't just be a stretch goal. Like the Patreon can't come first. The show has to be responsible for getting us that bump.
But we don't have a way to measure that.
Product
testing. Guppy bump. There's always the Guppy bump.
The Guppy bump would have to do a lot of work. Like if everybody who Guppy bumps us now, doubled their pledge instead of a dollar. That'd probably get us closer to where I'd be listening.
You still wouldn't do it though.
Yeah, it's a really tall ask because it's a really tall ask to ask me to watch Friends every Monday.
There's only 9 seasons. We'd be through it in like 2 years.
That's a lot.
It's 2 years. How many episodes of Friends are there? Probably about 200.
Oh my God. That's 4 years.
I know. Well, there's 236 episodes of Friends, and then we could have
almost 5 years
extended conversation about the Joeys.
Yeah, that's almost 6 years of my life. That's a half a decade. I would be 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough ask.
Man, you'd be really into it by the end.
I probably would have to be, right? Like
you'd cry at the finale.
I probably would. My body would create proabodies. Like I've heard of antibodies, but it would create bodies for it. My blood would start needing the Friends.
Yeah, that's what happened to all the NBC executives.
Yeah, they needed the Friends, so they greenlighted Joey.
They did. Matt LeBlanc still thinks Joey has legs. Still thinks that there was enthusiasm for Friends to keep tapping into. He doesn't understand why everybody wanted to stop.
It's like a lesser version of the Seinfeld curse, you know, all of those sitcoms, but with more success because What's Her Head went on to be a movie star and was successful.
Yeah. I mean, they're all successful in their own way with one major exception.
Yeah, now they are. But initially they tried a bunch of the same thing with the Seinfeld people.
Sure. We all watch The Marriage Ref.
Yeah, we all watch The Marriage Ref. We all go to the Laugh Factory. Like, we have seen how the Seinfeld people have taken a second act in life, but it's actually a third act because their second act was a failure.
I consider Jason Alexander's third act to be Duckman, and I love Duckman. So
that's a pretty good, yeah. That's better than was he in JAG? He wasn't in JAG. That's David Alan Greer. He was in something. I can't remember.
Gary,
the name
you
got to
stop
show.
Saying that David Alan Greer was in JAG when David Alan Greer was in DAG.
It's DAG. There is a simple mnemonic I could remember to keep those two things straight.
He literally had a TV show named after his own initials.
Yeah.
And you got it wrong.
I thought David Alan Greer was the one who did JAG.
Yeah.
So I got confused about those two. Javid's a fantasy ass name.
It's good. Yeah. I can imagine John Rhys Davies playing Javid.
Yeah. Javid. Never heard of that version of a fantasy mess up. But so what is the first... What is the first Jason Alexander thing he tried? Do you know?
I don't remember, honestly.
I vaguely remember it.
I remember Michael. There was a Michael Richards show.
Yep.
Seinfeld just did stand up and dated young women.
Yes.
And then much later got us The Marriage Ref.
Yeah. And then there was Julie Louis-Dreyfus had a show as well.
The New Adventures of Old Christine. Of course, featuring Clark Gregg.
Yeah, but I don't remember the Jason Alexander one. Like, I remember they all tried, and everyone was like, why aren't they playing the Seinfeld characters?
Why isn't he being my friend George? And then Larry David was like, if you want some George, I'll give you many seasons of George.
I'll give you more George with Robert F. Kennedy's wife than you can even handle.
It's so weird that that's Robert F. Kennedy's wife now.
It's one of the weirdest fucking facts. Because, like, I'm not a huge Curb Your Enthusiasm guy.
Uh-huh.
I watched like the first like five seasons of it or so.
Yeah, I'm more of have you played the Curb Your Enthusiasm Air Riders remake?
No.
It's chaotic.
I've heard that, but you don't have to play it to win. It plays itself.
The best thing about it is that there's a big grid of achievements, and you just see the big grid of achievements explode after every race.
Nice.
And you get little unlocks. You unlock Ted Danson.
Yeah, who is improving and not trying to be funny at all, which I really appreciate. Yeah. Sincerely. But like, that show's funny, and I was just like, she's funny on it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s wife is funny on that show. Yeah. At least in the beginning. And just like, how can somebody who is funny have that kind of like, oh, people who are funny are not good. I get it now.
All I can tell is that there's a certain class of woman who, or just person, but for whom Robert F. Kennedy's weird eyes do it.
Yeah. And the last name, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's
Kennedy.
Junior. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. they're mostly just watching movies at that point. They love Junior. Yeah.
I've never actually
seen
Junior.
That's probably true.
I bet DeVito's got a couple good lines in Junior.
Yeah. When I think of people being crappy, comedians being crappy, I think of them being sex crappy. Mm-hmm. Not evil crappy. You know?
Maybe he's so tender and loving in person. I didn't read the stuff with his journalist mistress lady.
I did.
You had to pay money to get that. You paid the money to get that?
No, I didn't. I'm not going to pay for a website. I'm sorry, actively to you. But the I did see like an excerpt from it in another article.
Okay.
So I read a couple paragraphs of it about all the penis worship that was going on.
Who's
it was a lot of like, I will provide my seed and you will drink from my fountain. Like, it's pretty intense.
I don't want that.
For a man who hates seed oils, he certainly talks about seeds a bunch.
To have heard that, I don't want to have.
No. Well, I can't do anything
about
that.
So, Gary, the thing I mostly like from your Harvey Pekar boot camp idea is, I think the idea of giving someone a crew cut but you're just giving them male pattern baldness is very funny.
I like that idea. I also like how little work it would be. Like, we'd mostly be feeding these men. We go to restaurants. They pay for it because these programs cost a lot. We go to a restaurant. Yeah. We ruin their posture a little bit.
How are we doing that? Are we doing that through verbal indoctrination or rods?
One if the other one doesn't work. So like we start with the verbal, we start with the carrot, but then we go to the stick, the rod at that point.
Gary, could you try to verbally picarify me here just so I can get a sense of what it's going to sound like?
Yeah. You pathetic little man.
Let me start. I'm going to create a character. Okay.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Todd in the Shadows, and I really want to be more like Harvey Picar. Can you help me?
That sounds fucking pathetic. You're a pathetic little man. Hmm. Are you poor?
No, I'm an incredibly well-paid concert pianist. Oh, I mean, I was.
Yeah, not anymore. I wonder
before.
Why.
Oh, because yeah. I witnessed the Giamatti crime family. I didn't mean to say Giamatti, but he's in my head because of Harvey Picar.
It's pretty funny, though.
Giamatti crime family.
The Giamattis are my favorite clan in Vampire.
That's actually
the Nosferatu, but...
Yeah.
Same difference.
That's mean.
That's really mean.
But I saw them give someone a Ecuadorian necktie in the alley outback of Carnegie Hall.
You didn't stop them? You're fucking coward.
I was worried they'd destroy my beautiful hands.
Yeah. Putting yourself before others. Classic bullshit. Get the fuck out of here. Crawl out of here.
Should I have a boner right now?
Look at it. Get your face as close to it as possible.
Mm.
See, then bam. Bad posture. Yeah.
Gary, it got a little too close to some stuff that I've maybe seen in videos.
Yeah?
No, because I don't look at that. I don't look at that stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to see people getting yelled at. Yelling makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I really like this online dominatrix, but too yelly.
Yeah, like she's too forceful. I would like something in a gentle dominatrix who suggests ways that I'm, you know, pathetic and can serve the clit. Like I can't get yelled at. It reminds me too much of my childhood. Like people yelling in a room is horrible. I can't handle it. Cannot do it. And it doesn't make me horny. Like, stuff that reminds me of my childhood does not make me horny. Wasn't a very horny childhood.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it sucks. You only get one.
You didn't have one of those erotic childhoods where you're just being like, it's a lot of au pairs, I guess.
Yeah. Nannies. Au pairs. Yeah.
Raises a lot of complicated questions about things like consent.
Ramblin' Rose. Things of that nature.
I don't know what Ramblin' Rose is, but I'm guessing from context clues that it ain't good.
It's a movie where a nanny statutorily rapes a young man.
I don't think she should have.
And kind of lits and encourages him to finger her. And it was the hottest thing I'd ever seen in my life when I saw it when I was young.
Sure.
Even though now I understand that sucks.
Yes. Intellectually, certainly.
Intellectually, it sucks. At the time, I was just like, what if this happened to me? That'd be great. But
yeah, youth and sexual, it's all very complicated, you know?
It's very complicated.
Megyn Kelly has some really interesting thoughts about all this.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hear her out.
Let's hear her out.
Yeah. Just asking questions.
Not her, then at least Margot Robbie playing her. I don't think I could have an actual conversation with Megyn Kelly where I wouldn't just get very mad. But if you bring in the Margot Robbie version from Bombshell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to be mad at Margot Robbie, I feel like.
She seems nice. She seems like she's having
really
a
nice.
She seems nice.
She's having a good career.
Yeah.
You know, I like that Barbie movie just fine. Like,
yeah.
She's great. Yeah. Good for her.
You excited for Wuthering Heights?
No, the trailer is too horny. That book is not like that. It's weird to do that as like a bodice ripper. Yeah, I read Wuthering Heights.
Sometimes you accuse me of accusing you of being dumb, but it's not necessarily a book I would have assumed you had read.
Yeah. Well, you could have just taken me saying I did it the first time without saying you did that.
You didn't say you had read it. You implied you had read it, so I asked a follow-up.
Yeah. I feel like that follow-up did not necessarily come from a good place, but...
I was surprised you had read the book.
Yeah, I read it when I was younger. I was trying to read classics.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were in conversation with your own perceptions of yourself.
Kinda. Yeah, probably. I was putting on affectations. I was putting on airs of something that turned out to be a bad fit.
Did you enjoy the book?
It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, just kind of mid. Wuthering Heights.
I feel
mid.
Like it was kind of mid. Like, it's fine. There's good stuff in it.
Like what?
Like, there's elements. No, I mean, like, as an art, it's been forever. It's been more than 20 years. But, like, I remember liking parts of it. When I think back on it, it does not feel memorable to me in terms of turns of phrase or revelations about humanity. It doesn't stick in my memory the way that my favorite books do.
Yeah. What happens in chapter 6?
They can't remember.
Interesting.
Heathcliff, wait, I do remember.
Okay.
Heathcliff pulls a fish skeleton out of a garbage can.
Interesting.
And then just drops it right down his throat.
Now, Carrie, I regret to inform you that you did not read Wuthering Heights and did, in fact, watch an episode of the cartoon Heathcliff.
Well, no, it was Heathcliff, the Cadillac cats show up.
Sure. Now, where's Top Cat come into this mythology?
He doesn't. It's amazing.
Okay.
Top Cat hangs out with Pink Panther and bullshit like that.
Okay.
But yeah, the Cadillac cats show up. It's in 1800s England or some shit. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to play the bit out, but I really like the idea of me continually trying to catch you in a lie about a book you absolutely did read.
Yeah. The bit makes me a little sad.
I know. That's why I'm not doing the bit all the way.
I appreciate that. You can take the YouTuber contempt candle, put it back. Oh. The thing that broke me of that was reading Kurt Vonnegut and then being like, oh, this was made for me. This is the classic that I'm like landing on. This is the style I want.
Oh yeah. And like actually like well written and like, has something in it that you can take into your modern life.
Yeah. Like I find that to be very resonant even to this day. So then that was my gateway into reading literature, was like trying a bunch of classics until I found something that really spoke to me. And it was that. There's some other classic shit I liked. Like I like 1984. I think that's a good book.
Sure.
You know, enjoy that quite a bit. But yeah, I liked Great Expectations.
Okay.
Great Expectations. I think that's interesting. But no, Vonnegut was kind of what did it. And then stuff like Vonnegut.
Now here's I've been chewing on something for a minute and I just want to bring it to you because I want your genuine reaction to it.
Okay.
Is there a way for me to ask you what the last book you read was that you don't get mad at me for implications you find in the question?
Let me think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be, the truth is important to Gary.
Yes.
So the fact that it's been a while since I've read a novel,
mm-hmm.
I'm not embarrassed about that. The way that you would ask it is what would hurt my feelings.
Okay.
You'd have like a little smile in your voice and you'd be like, okay, what was the last book you read? And I could hear like a little smile in your voice and that would make me feel bad.
But yeah.
Just the information doesn't make me feel bad.
Can we try?
Do you want to make a run at it?
Are you trying to hurt my feelings,
or trying not to?
I don't feel like I get to decide that.
You get to decide what you're trying for. I get to decide what you did.
I'm just asking questions. You can't get mad at me for asking questions.
Well, then Megyn Kelly coming back. Okay, give it a shot.
So Gary, what was the last book you read?
Oh. Yeah, I mean, like, the last, like, book I read was Prisons Make Us Safer, 10 Myths About Incarceration, something to that effect.
What happens in chapter 6?
I think that one's actually about I legitimately think that one is about how it is a common misconception that the U.S. prison system is primarily there to have workforce, like labor, but that's actually a very small percentage of prison. The book is making the argument that the prison is wrong, even if that were not true, and that is largely not true.
Okay. I just feel like what happens in chapter six is a good teacher trying to catch someone in a fake book report question.
Chapter six is very specific.
Yeah.
Like, what happens in the last chapter or first chapter? No problem.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Anything in the middle, though, it's hard to get down to chapter. Like, what happened in Ned Stark 3? I don't fucking know.
I don't fucking know. He said something about honor.
God damn. He's walking around honor on the King's Road, I bet. You know?
They're probably on the King's Road by then in Ned Stark 3.
That's my guess. Yeah, I bet you they're near the end of the King's Road.
Gary, how did you feel about me asking the question? How did the question hit for you?
With all the preamble we did, that question was fine.
Okay, can we try again?
Sure.
Yeah, Gary, what was the last book you read?
See, that's the way.
Was that worse?
That was worse.
Let me try again.
Okay.
Hey, Gary, what's the last book you read?
I like that one because that makes you sound like an idiot.
Oh, okay. Let me take that. Well, Gary, what's the last book that you read? That's my smart voice. Did you like my smart voice?
Well, now it sounds like a skeleton's asking me.
No, that wasn't a skeleton. He still had some flesh on the throat.
Yeah, a little bit, but it still sounds pretty skeleton. It's approaching. It's lichifying like 10%.
Now, Jerry, what's the last book that you read?
Really? Well, that's just confusing.
That doesn't have pictures in it, Jerry.
Well, then now I feel bad.
Okay, there we go. Did I get to a real feeling, or is it so far in the bit that I can't get to the feeling?
It's so far in the bit that I call me a fucking idiot, but I'm trusting you right now.
Interesting. you fucking idiot. You don't like dumb fuck.
I don't like being called a dumb fuck when I feel like there's a level of you that means it.
Oh, but I never mean anything.
I believe that you believe that.
Yeah. That's really powerful. What a beautiful belief to have in a friend.
Yeah, I think that, but I think on some level, I do think there's a little, there's probably a little soupçon, and I don't think it's most of the time, but I feel like there's a little tiny germ in you that's like, I'm smarter than this guy. I know more than this guy, and I want other people to know that.
I do think that you think I'm smarter than you.
I think that you think that you're smarter than me, yes.
I know you think, I don't think that. I think I'm one of the dumbest people I've ever met.
Well, you've got that thing where you simultaneously believe you're dumb and smart. It's a trick.
I might know more facts than you.
Yeah.
But that's a very value agnostic statement.
That's 100% true. It's also inarguable. Like, I think the fact that you know more facts than me, like, it's not hard to know more facts than me. I'm not big on facts.
But I've played board games with you, so like the things that I'm good at, in terms of like building strategies around abstract rule systems, which is like the thing I'm good at and is why I was good at tests as a kid, I'm not noticeably better than you at.
No, probably not.
I don't think I'm better at analysis than you are, in terms of like the stuff that we like actually bring our analytical brains to.
I think that me thinking this about you, I'm willing to allow that it says more or says as much about me, you know, like it is an insecurity on my part, that probably comes from not knowing a lot of facts and living in a world where knowing facts is really respected and kind of resenting that a little bit. Not a huge amount, but kind of to a K-pop Demon Hunters level, you know, just being like a piece of paper could do that.
What about the bit where she's got her mouth all big because she's like enjoying the ramen so much?
I do like a big mouth on a lady.
I know you do, man.
We're doing quad reverent. Revenant.
You did just say reverent, so I was smarter than you right then.
We are four times as reverent talking about the quad revenant.
It's true. Honestly, this is just the guy from last time, but there's. He's got four heads, so he's doing way more area denial.
Yeah, shooting fire in four directions, either cardinal or ordinal directions. Mm-hmm. And he rotates. like Krampus does.
Yeah. So he's a, like, you know, a nasty obstacle. You don't want this guy around. This guy is repentance exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
All right. No, he's not. I'm sorry. I got that very wrong, Gary, and I'm so sorry.
It's okay. We're in a real stretch of real assholes in terms of enemies. Like, scrolling down, it's a lot of annoying things for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where I am more annoying than you.
I'm pretty annoying. There are people tell me I'm annoying. There are things I do that people get so fucking mad at me. More annoying. People get morally outraged at me more.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Like, it's a very funny thing. Like, it's actually not funny. It sucks. But one of the running things on WAF is that Kay and I will say, like, basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what will come out of it is that Kay is a baby with no agency, that I'm bullying her.
Uh-huh.
Even we, like, the content of what we said is basically the same. It happens with some regularity. And it bugs Kay a whole bunch, too. Like, it's not like me defending her. She's just like, fuck, like, why do people do this? And I'm like, I don't know. It's because I'm slightly louder than you are.
And a little meaner in your statements.
A little meaner. I care a little bit more. I just care too much.
I think you're a little bit more, if I'm being absolutely honest about this phenomenon, which I have observed,
mm-hmm.
I think you are more comfortable going a little hyperbolic in pursuit of a joke when you're talking negatively about something.
That is true. Yeah. Kay has been doing that more. I think that was more, there was a bigger difference between us. And now Kay has been saying, like, people need to be tried at the Hague for game shit.
Yeah.
You know, Kay is now caught up with me in that, but I still feel like people treat her like a baby with no agency.
I think Kay needs to kill someone.
Yeah. Gotta catch up.
In real life. If Kay killed somebody and got away with it, and then there were little references sprinkled around, I think that would change the vibes a lot.
I think so too. Because I've never killed anybody.
Me either, yeah.
Yeah. The Everything to Guppy guarantee is it's a podcast from two men who have never killed anybody. How many of those are there? How many, you listen to Jordan, Jesse, Go?
Yeah.
One half of those are murderers. For us, no murderers.
Yeah. Legally, I do have to put in a disclaimer here that says that neither Jesse Thorne nor Jordan Morris are murderers.
One of the McElroys is murdered, and you'll be surprised which one it is. It's not the one.
I mean, there's
a
long-running joke about how Travis died and was replaced by a new guy.
Yeah. Now, I went down a little rabbit hole about that on Reddit at one point.
Oh, no. No, you got to stay out of that one.
Yeah, because people believe it. It's a joke, but there are people who are pretty serious about it.
You got to stay out of that. I'm not going to say what the subreddit is, because the one time I alluded to it vaguely, somebody, and you know who you fucking are, got weird about it. And it sucked.
I don't seek it out. Every once in a while, Reddit's like, with all the things you like, you'd probably really like these guys. And I'm like, yeah, you'd think so. And then they give me that, they show me that kind of news.
Yeah, but Final I was Fans fascinated back, because, baby.
Like, seeing a title that was, you know, Travis McElroy's dead and been replaced, I was like, oh, okay. Like, that's kind of interesting. You know, even if I'm not a big fan. So
yeah, that would be interesting if they had done that. Back? Yeah, that? Final Pam's back.
Yeah. They're playing the hits. Because
it's been
stinky.
10 years.
Yeah. Sweaty.
It's a little sweaty.
Yeah. What did you say before that?
I don't remember.
That's okay.
I had a list of topics for this episode. Can we get through them?
Yeah. I believe in the challenge, but I will say that I do have a relatively hard cutoff today.
Is it bathroom related?
No. I'm thirsty.
Oh, no.
And I have some stuff I want to get done. I know. I need to drink some water. It's a medical thing. It's like I'm on medications that dry me out. I did not hydrate properly this morning, so I need to, like, sit and actively, like it's a hobby, drink water for a while. And I have some stuff I want to get done before I go to practice.
Fair enough. I'm going to movie trivia with Nick tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad Nick is going. I felt bad that I couldn't go. I'd like to do that with you at some point.
It's a good time.
It just, the stars have not aligned.
So because I've been going through some of the worst depression of my entire life over the last couple weeks, I was worried I wouldn't be able to bring it this week. Obviously, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when I did King Will?
I remember. I liked King Will. I remember King Will. He had gout. You know, like,
gout, let it all out. So I did come up with like a list of topics in case we needed it.
Okay. It's not worth saving these?
I think it's funnier to burn them all really fast.
Okay, because we will need topics again in the future. I'm not that confident in us that this isn't a valuable thing we're going to throw away. Not saying we shouldn't do it, but we are going to throw away something with a lot of value.
Yes, these are not valuable. So the first one was, what if we invented a new language of flowers?
Language of flowers?
Language of flowers is a thing where you could like send
the code.
For people who don't know, like you, like if you put a peony in the bouquet, it means like I love you or whatever.
Yeah, a lot of them are love. There aren't a whole lot of flowers. Like if I put this flower in a bouquet, it means you owe me money.
Yeah, or like I think the contract should go for 2 years instead of one.
I think that's a good idea because it's not a very efficient form of communication. There
would
are a lot of flowers out there.
Would you want to do it still with flowers, or would you want to find something like the modern equivalent of flowers? Like flowers are kind of passe at this point.
What is the modern equivalent of flowers?
I think it's bumper stickers.
There are over 400,000 species of flowers.
I think we can work with flowers then. Okay. Next up, what's in your sin bin?
Ooh, my sin bin.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Like, just, I guess, when I phrased it, I was like, what sin did you most commit this week? And I know what it is. It's, you've only really got the, no. If I was talking about Gary's sins, I think of three primarily.
Yeah, and are we limiting them to the deadlies?
Yeah, just keep to the deadlies.
Yeah. Sloth.
Yeah. Sloth is kind of number one for you. Wrath,
it
yes.
is. Little wrath. I don't consider lust to be a sin, but if we consider lust to be a sin, you know, I consummate wife guy.
You're somewhat gluttonous.
No, not so gluttonous, really.
You speak of food with a glutton. Even if you're not eating a lot, you have a loving attitude towards food.
Is that gluttony and like enjoying it? I thought gluttony was just amounts.
I think we could make an argument.
I guess that's true. I guess if enjoying food is gluttony, I do enjoy food. Yeah, I have a hedonistic streak.
Yeah.
Hedonism, Gary, is the character I'm working on.
Yeah, mine, of course, is the Kierkegaardian sense of sin, which is despair.
Despair.
Would you like a little Warhammer 40K lore?
Sure.
Fuck. Okay. the Eldar fucked so hard. There used to only be three Chaos Gods, and then the Eldar fucked each other so hard they made a new one. And that new one, Slaanesh, has permanent dominion over all their souls.
It's interesting that that's also the name of the Slod God in D&D. I bet you it's like a root demon or something.
And then, Gary, do you want this week's Game Genie code?
I do.
Yeah. A-O-V-E-G-T-G-E. That was the first line. Game Genie codes, of course, are made up of two lines of, like, I don't know. I should look how they're written. A-E-V-E-P-T-L-A. And that'll get you a Super Jump in MC Kids, the McDonald's-based platformer that's surprisingly good.
I've used that Game Genie code.
I think you probably have to be careful with it. You could probably break some boundaries there and maybe soft lock your game. But obviously, it's going to be good for just getting around and getting all the arches, getting all the birdie cards.
You don't soft lock your game because that game has a gravity mechanic. So when you go off the top of the screen, you just die.
Oh, okay.
So it just makes you. It makes it tricky. Like you just have to time your jumps a lot differently. But then that was one of the games I had. I fucking loved that game as a kid, and I had a Game Genie. Use that a lot.
MC Kids is so much better than it has any right to be. It has like a
it
lot of like.
It doesn't need to be good at all. Yeah.
It didn't need to be good at all. And instead, it's like certainly in competition with Mario 3, at least in terms of like ideas about platform level design. Maybe not the precision is there, but it's doing a lot of the same things and like taking a platformer and what can we do with this in terms of encouraging like exploration as gameplay.
Yeah, I think it does. I would agree. It doesn't feel nearly as good. It doesn't have as much personality.
Yeah,
I would put it on par with like the second string Nintendo platformers. So not Mega Man, Mario level, but like easily, you know, Little Nemo, whatever, you know, DuckTales, second string. I mean, DuckTales is a first tier platformer to me.
Yeah, DuckTales.
But like, you know, Darkwing Duck, things like that.
Yeah. You know what licensed platformer is shockingly good? Cool Spot.
Yeah, Cool Spot's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Played a bunch of Cool Spot. The funny thing about Cool Spot, I know I had a hard cutoff, but one of the funny things about Cool Spot is when you bought Cool Spot as a game, you never knew what kind of game you were going to get.
True.
Like, sometimes you get a platform and sometimes you get a fellow. Yeah, yeah. You get a fucking reversey. What the hell? You know, it just with the spots. What can people do if they like this show?
They can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. If you double your pledge and say, I'm doing this to make Gary watch Friends.
If
something might happen
it.
Or not. What?
Yeah, it can't just be one people, though. You guys have to organize.
Yeah.
It has to be basically everybody. It has to make a big bump.
Yeah, get in your Discords.
Yep. If I can pay off my mortgage 1 year sooner.
Everybody in the Plumber Duck Discord, which exists, to my great shame, go ahead and get that organized, all 10 of you.
It has one of your symbols as the logo for it. Has your online symbol. So I've clicked on that several times, trying to click on you.
Okay.
Just because I see the little thing. Yeah. Yeah. You can also leave us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, wherever reviews are found.
Yeah.
And I think we're low on them, so fucking do it.
I do have a fresh one on Apple Podcasts.
Excellent.
Written by Nice to Meeks You. I'm writing this review to break my tie. I'm in a genuine tie with my previous three Guppy reviews, and I can't have that tie stand before the pivot finally arrives. I've written one review that made Gary laugh, one that made Gary mad, and one that didn't get read at all. With this review, I hope to ask a thought-provoking question. Maybe the most thought-provoking question of all. Of the two classic jams to go on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, strawberry or grape, which do you prefer? I, for one, don't believe you can trust an individual that likes grape jelly. But ultimately, I ask you two, the big gupper and the little gupper. My stars, my perfect silence. Thanks for the laughs, fellas. 5 PB&Js as a rating.
Thank you. I like that.
As a 5-star review. You did laugh at it a little bit.
Yeah. I like a big guppy, little guppy.
Whereas I'm very mad that they call them jams.
Yeah. Because they are
different
things.
They're not jams. Yeah.
Strawberry is the clear answer there. Grape jelly is an abomination.
Yeah, so we're just not going to... It's too late in the episode to get anybody mad at anybody. So I'll, you know, just... we can just disagree.
Grape jelly, man.
Yeah, I am.
Well, no ghost.
Yeah, I guess just sometimes someone's, you know... If you just have a little bit more going on upstairs, you think grape jelly's better. No ghost.
If you read books with books with words in them, you like grape jelly.
Yeah.
If you're just sitting there seeing Dick run, you like strawberry jelly.
Look at your seeing Dick run.